July 4th, 1999. A derecho windstorm hits the Boundary Waters and surrounding area. Vast sections of the wilderness are flattened, and the storm is remembered forever as the Blowdown.
There's very few events, you know, in your lifetime that you remember exactly where you are. I mean, that's one of them. You know, I always remember, you know, where I was and what I was doing that day. Hello, I'm Bob Baker. I've been on the trail since year-round since '91, and summer, you know, quite a few summers before that. But I guided on the Gunflint Trail for, well, 17 years full-time, and now my wife and my two boys, we run Gunflint Pines Resort. It'll be 8 years this fall. When I got down to the dock that morning, usually we try to leave the dock between 7:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, for a full day of fishing. Well, since it was 4th of July, that day, the three guys that I had wanted to be back in by 1 o'clock or so they could run into town, spend the afternoon with the families in town, and then watch the fireworks that evening. So it started out as being a pretty easy day. You know, I was going to, you know, be back in 1:30 and I'd be done for the day.
Well, my name is Dave Wirt, and I was the Cook County Sheriff from 1995 to 2005, was obviously in office on July 4th, 1999. I guess the first involvement that I had was the phone rang, and I picked it up. There was a guy calling me from Cook, Minnesota. And I didn't have a pencil in my hand, so I don't even know his name. But he said, "Are you the sheriff in Grand Marais?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "We just had a storm roll through here, and you guys are going to get hit." And I thought, well, that's really interesting. And I think we had just gotten the internet that year, so I had the ability to go on and look at one of the websites. And, you know, sure enough, I saw a pretty good radar echo, if that's the right term. For a storm headed to our area. I got a hold of the dispatcher on duty at the time and asked if she had heard anything about a storm headed our direction, and she said she had just gotten a notice on it, and she was pretty busy because it is 4th of July, so I said, well, okay, keep me posted. And it was very shortly after that I live on Highway 61, the sky turned green down there and the wind blew and so on and so forth.
At the time of the storm, Josh Leonard was on a canoe trip in the Boundary Waters with his two brothers, his parents, and the family dog.
Of course, it was over 4th of July weekend, and it was our annual Leonard family trip. And, you know, everything had just been great. And we were actually on our way out. Around 4th of July, and we just thought, I think we even mentioned something like, hey, I guess we won't get any fireworks for 4th of July this year, but that's cool because we're in the Boundary Waters. So we got to the portage, and we did the portage, and we saw the big storm clouds rolling in, and we're like, okay, so let's, you know, break out the lunch stuff. And we noticed that the clouds kind of get bigger and bigger, and then this is where we all start having different remember the same thing, of course, but Tygan said something like he remembers specifically, like, the clouds, these huge masses of clouds, like in these big plumes kind of pushing down or coming down, not like a tornado swirly effect or anything, but just like, oh, that's different.
Hi, my name is Brandy Wenzel, and I am a wilderness ranger in the Boundary Waters up the Gunflint Trail. I was off, actually. It was one of my days off, and I lived at a Forest Service cabin out on Brule Lake, and just like everybody else experienced, it was, we could tell a storm was coming in, but it just got dark, really dark. The sky turned green, and I'm from Missouri, and so I thought, this is what it feels like when there's a tornado.
when you have an event like this, and whether a large scale event, you'll get one call. Okay, you get one call. Well, then you get two calls, and then you get four calls, and then you get 10 calls. And so the thing grows. When you get the first call, you have no idea what scale you're dealing with. By about the 40th call, you start to get a pretty good picture of what's happened. So I had gone into the office shortly after, probably about the 8th or 9th call, something like that, because obviously something was going on.
We were kind of on this little rock outcropping, but a very small rock outcropping, so not like we were exposed to lightning or anything. And we were on the windward side of the lake. And when we were standing there, we literally saw a wall of wind. It was intense. It was just like, it just came around. Like, you couldn't see the big part of the lake at all, but just in the bay, we just saw this wall of wind just come tearing around. We're like, oh Lord, that looks big.
And now you could tell that it was pretty major, because, you know, lightning bolts were coming down every 10, 15 seconds. And you could tell that it was going to be, you know, a real bad storm. So at that point, I had about a mile to run out to the beach on Gunflint. So I made that run, you know, through the lightning with the three guys. And I wanted to get to the beach and be able to look off to the west and see what was going on. For those people that have been down on Little Gun, and that there's a sharp 90 degree corner that goes into Little Gun. And I parked my boat around the corner, and so it was protected, you know, from any wind or, you know, anything. And, you know, we sat the storm out on the beach, and as we get out of the boat, tied up, I look down the beach there, and there's, well, family, two boats, a family. There were probably four adults, and I remember a couple little kids, probably like a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 7-year-old. They were out picnicking on the beach on Little Gun, or on Gunflint. And, well, you look off to the west, and that's when you could see the wall cloud coming. And it was rolling right down the lake, and it was pure aqua colored behind it. You know, nothing like you. I mean, I've seen about 3-4 storms or wall clouds or these rolling rope clouds that aren't that high off the treetops, you know, in the last 15, 20 years. And this was the biggest one. And it was just pure black and aqua turquoise color behind it.
So it came in and the storm hit, and it was like raining in the windows, sideways, in the door. We were watching trees go, just bend down to the ground like I've never seen before.
We had our rain gear on. We had our canoes in the three-point stance, and we had all of our stuff under the canoes to keep them dry. And we just turned our backs to the wind. And, you know, it hit us. And my mom said that the rain felt like almost like darts going into the back, you know. And we ended up huddling in a circle, and we started singing songs, actually. Yeah, we sang Paradise, I think it's called, by John Prine. It's, you know, like, when I was a child, my family would travel down Western Kentucky where my parents were born. But, you know, like, that song. And I'm, you know, probably Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. But, you know, I mean, we really, a storm like that's totally unpredictable. So we didn't know what would happen. And the main thing that we just started doing is singing and, you know, basically praying that we would be fine.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. I will always have in my mind's eye that the trees, watching the trees bend to the ground. Never seen anything like that before. Just bend and then spring back up and then bend and then break. And it was really crazy.
But the most intense thing was we all started hearing this popping sound, and it sounded literally like popcorn popping. And then it kind of dawned on us that those were trees snapping. And it was just like pop, 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 like just everywhere. And there is about a 100-year-old red pine that was right behind us, just about 6 feet away, that, you know, probably a good, I don't know, like 3 feet in diameter or something like that. I mean, it's a large tree. And it just snapped like a toothpick. And it right at the, pretty much right at the base, well, about 3 feet up. And, you know, there's no groaning or no sighing or anything. It just went, just snapped. And I'm like, you know, that thing has seen about 100 years worth of storms, and it just is gone.
Somebody can probably figure this out, but it was blowing a lot of water down the lake. It actually turned the current. Little Gun flows into Gunflint. Well, it was blowing the water down the lake, so it rose that end of the lake, you know, probably around 2 feet, and pushed all this water up into Little Gun. And at this time, you know, the wind's blowing so hard that the family that was on the beach there, you know, they start heading back in the woods. You know, I looked down there, they're in the woods. All their gear that they had out on the beach was blown into the woods. It was gone. The only thing that left there was two boats. And one was turned sideways, and the waves were just crashing into that one. The other one was a little bit lighter boat, and that one was pushed. It was getting pushed way up on shore. And so now the trees are starting to fall. Now I'm worried about all the people that are out in the woods. So I grab the guys and I tell them, you know what, we got to get them out in the open, because the trees are starting to go down left and right. So we grab the whole family. The kids were, you know, kind of bawling, and, you know, they had no idea what was going on. But I got everybody to come back out in the open, because, you know, all we had was the wind blowing on us, and that wasn't, you know, other than, you know, just hunkering down in the sand, and you know, they were going to be fine. They weren't going to get hit by the trees falling.
I don't remember it ending. It just stopped, and the temperature dropped about 20 degrees, and it was completely calm. And since there's that big drop in temperature, there's all this mist coming up from the lake, you know, because the lake was warm. And it was eerie because it was so calm. The wind, of course, wasn't making any more sound afterwards. And the birds were not chirping. There wasn't any bird or animal noises at all. And then with the mist, once we started canoeing, we couldn't really see very far. So it was just like this, almost like sensory deprivation.
After the wind kind of, you know, died down a little bit, all the water that blew down into Little Gun started coming back out onto the lake. It was really weird looking, because the water seemed like it was just boiling. It was just almost like a big riptide. You know, if you would have been sitting out there, you would probably got pulled out into the lake.
You know, you had people who were not harmed, but terrified by what had happened. You had people who were injured. I know that we had, I believe it was somebody up in the Greenwood area, I think. And there were trees down all the way, and so there were two movements going towards that victim, one up the Greenwood Road and the Shoe Lake Road, the other one going up the Arrowhead Trail. And everybody was chainsawing from two different directions, kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was a race, but trying to see who was going to get there, and I don't remember which team won, but you know, we had deputies that were chainsawing out there, and I guess from an OSHA standpoint, none of them had ever been trained to operate chainsaws. They just, you know, what they did in their backyard, they brought those skills with them, and so there was a lot of extraordinary effort going on to check campgrounds and you know, just clear pathways so that you get emergency vehicles up to the people who were hurt and so on.
We're constantly worried that we're going to be, that somebody out there had to have been hurt, you know, with something that major, and then constantly surprised that everyone was, you know, everyone that we saw was okay. We kind of see each other, see people passing by, you know, on the lakes, and just be like, are you guys okay? Yeah, are you okay? Okay, good. You know, we stopped in several campsites and didn't see anybody there at all. And
as we're going down the lake, we start looking at the hillsides that were flattened, the docks that were turned over, the boats that are turned over, you know, hooked to the docks still. And, you know, hillsides just leveled. And so we're pretty much in shock at what just happened, you know. And then we pull into the dock, and you know, the families come down, you know, they were worried about us being out, and you know, everybody was fine.
It's something else that I remember from it that was, I think a lot of us who work out in the woods noticed that was another like kind of devastating aspect to the storm was, it was, you know, it was July 4th, early July, when all the birds are their chorus is deafening, you know, in the evenings or in the afternoons. And that was, to me, that was such an aspect to the Boundary Waters that I became so used to every June and July, just the birds, how loud they were. And it was like somebody just turned them off.
One thing that my dad said is that the eerie thing was, too, is you know, I mean, this was 10 years ago, so this was before cell phones were real widely dispersed. You know, we didn't have cell phones, and so once we came out, we saw all these people coming in, and they're like, and we're like, you know, the storm hit, and a lot, we don't know if you guys are going to be able to get to where you want to go. The portages are pretty much impassable. And there's all these people coming in, and they hadn't heard about the storm. And this was like 24 hours later. And then we were driving on the way home, and we were listening to the radio the whole way. And there was no mention on the radio anything about the storm whatsoever. And then we stopped and called my grandma just to say that, hey, we're okay. And she's like, why? What happened? And she hadn't heard anything about it. And she watches the news and listens to the news all the time. And so we got home. You know, about probably, I think, 48 hours after the storm hit. And my dad called up WCCO radio and just said, hey, by the way, there is this big storm up in the Boundary Waters. You might want to report on it. And a little while later, they called back and gave him an interview, and he was interviewed on the radio because they hadn't heard anything about it. It was kind of like the first thing that WCCO knew about the storm at all. And then finally, about a week later, we started seeing stuff in the papers.
Well, and that's what's shocking about it, that whenever there's any other big weather event in this country, it's like almost blown out of proportion to the opposite end of what happened up here. It wasn't even, yeah, it took days before you even heard a little bit. And then it didn't nearly capture how devastating of an event it really was.
It was the next day that I was able to get up in the air and actually see the scope of it. So pretty big. And even from the air, I mean, you see the immensity of it, but it's not until you're on the ground and trying to maneuver through the debris that's where it really impacts you. Well, what we did was we stayed in a rescue mode until, and it was declared an emergency, until every campsite had been inspected and every portage had been cleared. So, which meant that in the emergency mode, chainsaws, motorized or mechanized equipment was allowed.
As far as the effort goes, it was an immense effort from a lot of people. Crews were flown into the wilderness and cut themselves out so they could help people, other people get themselves out. So yeah, it was quite a lot of work. But yeah, that summer was pretty much just a blur for a lot of people that worked up here in the woods. That it was just all about the blowdown. I remember at the end of the summer feeling like I just want to walk on pavement. I just want to walk flat on something flat. I don't want to lift my legs up. I don't want to jam my knees on stops anymore. I mean, it was just, you're constantly climbing, and it just got really old.
Oh, the woods it'll never be the same from what I remember it. You know, as far as walking through the woods and being in the woods, it'll never be the same. You know, you used to be able to walk through the woods without climbing over, you know, anything. You know, you can't do that. There's areas where you can't even hike today because there's so much, you know, there's so many trees laying on the ground yet that it makes it almost impossible to walk through. And so I know, you know, in my lifetime, the woods is not going to be the same as what I remember it. You know, you can't replace, you know, trees that are 50, you know, 60, 100 years old in a lifetime. But, you know, it's coming back. It's, you know, I've had my place now for, it's going on, I don't know, 7, 8 years. And in just in that time, the trees have doubled in size. So, you know, when I first moved in there, you know, it was, they're 12 foot high. Now they're, you know, 30 foot high.
It's amazing to see the regeneration, especially up in that area where pines are such a dominant feature to the landscape. The pine regeneration now is, or since then, you know, 10 years later, is pretty amazing. It's and that's fun to see because finally some of those sites, those campsites and those areas where you just wanted to avoid because they just looked so ugly, you know, matchsticks of trees and just trees down everywhere. Finally, there's like a forest coming up through it. And it doesn't mean it's park, like you can't walk through it, you know, and but it's still, there is a forest coming back. And so I think that 10 years later is kind of a pretty fun thing to see in some of those areas. Like I actually go to campsites now that you wouldn't catch me ever camping on, that I'd say, you know, I'd camp on this campsite. This is a really nice site with this little forest coming up around it. So yeah, that's fun to see.
There's very few events, you know, in your lifetime that you remember exactly where you are. I mean, that's one of them. You know, I always remember, you know, where I was and what I was doing that day.